Thank you for listening to the Catchify London podcast. For more information about CTF London, visit us on ctfl.life.
I felt that that God wanted to release some prophetic words this morning, so I haven't asked these guys to think of anything or given them any warning, but I know they all live prepared lives, continually talking to the Holy Spirit. And so, sorry, I'm just kind of dropping you in it a little bit, but I felt the Lord highlight you guys. And so, yeah, when the Father gives a prophetic word and the Holy Spirit speaks, if you're new to us, you don't have to do what I did when I was 15 years old in church and suddenly think, someone's about to call out all my secret sin in front of the whole church and ask me to stand and listen to it in front of everyone. That's just not the heart of the Father. The Father wants to encourage, equip. He'll challenge and he'll convict, but it will always be good. It will always be soaked in love. And so, so if you're not used to receiving a prophetic word and someone asks you to stand up, don't feel that something terrible is about to happen. It is good. And also, I would just say, guys, that it could be that it's a word for someone on the podcast, so just bear that in mind. Who, Hannah?
Fiona, yes. it's very interesting you did this. I know you were in my dream last night, and in the dream that I had, you came to me and you said, I've heard the call and I know it's time that I'm awake. I know it's time to awaken. And I was just asking the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? I was asking him during worship because I knew I needed to come and talk to you. And I felt like the Lord was saying that there's an awakening of the prophetic call upon your life to a new level and a greater height than you've seen yet. And I believe that the Lord is starting to rattle you awake, that you have had a gift before and you're very prophetic anyway, but there is a shaking and an awakening to the signs and the times that are coming, that are around us, that the things of the world that are speaking of the prophetic nature of heaven is going to come to you, that you're going to be able to see revelation in the earth, to see revelation in the signs and the times, and you are going to know where the Holy Spirit is moving and awakening. And I feel like there's an alertness coming to you that you've not yet had. And I felt like the Lord was saying, it's time to awake, it's time to arise, it's time to come out from the shadows and for your voice to be heard, that there is a cry inside of you that the Lord has placed deep inside of you to resound, and now is the time. And the Lord said there is going to be people that will come around you, and I'm even going to say that myself, I will come around you and encourage you in this time. I will encourage you to, people are going to come and encourage you to start speaking out what you're seeing, because I believe that Jesus has tested you. He has put you through many trials and he has found you one that is after his heart, that you will stand steadfast. And because of that, he is trusting you, that it says that the ones that love him, that he will reveal the end of the age. He will reveal the signs. He will reveal the times. And I feel like the Lord is going to speak to you more and more and more. And I believe that there is a belief deep inside of you where it's been like, there's a stirring and a wrestling that's been going on, and the Lord has said that yes, it's time for you to make that decision. It's time for you to stand in that authority and say, I'm taking this mantle, I'm taking hold of what the gift that the Lord has given to me. And so right now I bless you to be awake, and I bless that prophetic call inside of you to arise to a new level, and I bless your eyes to see, your ears to hear, and for your heart to understand where the Lord is moving in this time and in this age. And I bless you to be one where the church will recognize the voice that you have, the prophetic call on your life, that you will be like John the Baptist, that you will stand steadfast and make way for the coming of Jesus, that you will not be hindered, but that you will stand for truth and righteousness, and that this will be something that you pass on to your children, to Charlotte, and you will pass it on to that she will then pass it on to her children, that you will be ones that stand for truth and righteousness, and that you will be, yeah, that you'll prevail through many things, that as trials and tribulations come, the Lord says that he knows that you will prevail, to keep pressing in, to keep going, but the prophetic call on your life is arising. And so bless you.
Just a really quick one, this may be in the room or this may be on the podcast. Does anyone have the door number 127 and the door is blue? If that's anyone here. 3, 2, 1, no. Okay, if not, then that'll be the podcast, hopefully. You, sir, in the blue shirt, just sat directly here. What's your name? Brian, yes. Just as I was looking at you, I don't know if you've heard of a guy called John Piper, but you look so like John Piper. I was like, oh my gosh, John Piper came to church. That's amazing. But I just felt, I'm actually reading a book by him at the moment, and it's all about reading the Bible supernaturally. And just as I was looking at you, just something clicked in my spirit, and I felt that God was saying he's bringing you into a season where he's going to start opening the scriptures to you in a new way. And I just saw you having almost like 3D glasses. And just what I saw was as you read scripture, the words are literally going to jump off the page. And where it says, you know, the word kills, but the spirit gives life. And I just felt that as Holy Spirit, just synergistically, as you read the scripture with Holy Spirit, that just in fresh ways, stuff's going to literally just start jumping off the page to you, even to the extent that there will be verses that you've seen and perhaps even preached on before, and you're just going to see fresh stuff that's just going to jump out to you. So I just bless you just with that, and just to receive that by faith. Just the other thing I just felt, just really quick, just to release, I felt if there's anyone in the room who's struggling with infertility at the moment, I just felt God wanted to bring healing to that. So if that's you, won't have you stand, obviously, but just if that is you, just take that by faith as a kind of, a seed word, just to receive that, just that I felt God was wanting to heal infertility in the room. So just bless you with that.
Great. And the lady next to Brian. Hi, what's your name? Liz. Hi, Liz. Liz, I saw you on a stage, a dimly lit stage, dancing in a tutu and wearing pumps. And not pumps, whatever they're called, the little ballet shoe things. And then I saw the scene change, and it transformed into an ice skating rink, and I saw you skating. And I heard the waltz from Swan Lake, Tchaikovsky Swan Lake. I've just been listening to it just as we... It's great. It's awesome. And it's just growing louder and louder and louder, this crescendo. And I saw you feeling kind of lonely in that space and skating around and not quite knowing what to do, what the dance moves were. And then this instructor came alongside you, and this instructor was also your dance partner, just like at the Winter Olympics, and was skating with you and showing you what to do. But it was moment by moment. It wasn't like you had to rehearse. You just had so much trust in this person that you were just able to go for it. And as I continued to watch the scene and the music got louder and louder, the ice rink filled with people cheering and just watching and being in awe of all these incredible dance moves. And I feel like the Father is saying to you, you've been crying out for guidance in some area. And I just sense the Father saying he's coming alongside you like that coach, like that that dancer. He doesn't just want to be your coach. He wants to be your dance partner. He doesn't just want to tell you what to do. He wants to do it with you. And it's going to be little tiny steps, and it's going to be so beautiful. And people are going to be wowed. And there's just going to be people who watch the beauty that comes out of this this new season with the Lord. And they're just going to be in awe. And the Father says, don't hide away. Don't hide away. Show it. Let it be seen. Let everyone see what I'm doing in your life. Boast about me. And he's going to take whatever this just as you've been dancing on your own on that little dimly lit stage, he's going to take it to a bigger platform. And I feel like doors are opening for you to be seen for this bigger thing that the Lord is taking you into. But just really embrace the fact that he's with you, and he's doing it moment by moment with you. Bless you.
Sweet. What's your name over here with the black hat? Yoneli. Nice to meet you, Yoneli. I just like God highlighted you to me, and I just heard the word. There we go. We're back. Whoa. Anticipation's growing about what I'm going to say. I felt like the Lord said joy filled, and I just saw like a melting, and I saw you walking into a room, and I think it was like a workplace, and I just saw ice melting around you. And I feel like God is just filling your heart with such joy in this season, but it's a joy that isn't just for you, it's for the people around you and in your workplace as well, and that you carry that joy with you. I also saw like keys as well, like you were walking into a place with keys and you were unlocking doors. And yeah, I just feel like there's a real favor with you, and I feel like specifically it's about your workplace and about bringing joy to people there that might be struggling with that right now. So I just bless you with that, Yoneli, and I just pray blessing over you right now that the joy that's in your heart would just increase. That I feel like God's saying that he's proud of you, and that yeah, he's proud of the joy that you carry, and he's going to increase it. So bless you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. If you got a word just then and you want to re-listen to it, if you're anything like me, you're just nodding and smiling when the person's giving you the word, and you actually hear maybe three words from it, and when it's a whole paragraph, come back and listen on the podcast. If you would like to get prophetic words, that's really how it works when we do them. Come along to the prophetic revelation station. Come on. The guys will do that. I would also say just... sometimes there's that anticipation in the room where you're like, you see the words, you're like, oh, they're good, I'd like one, and then you don't get one. And then if you're anything like me, sometimes you then, in your orphanness, maybe grumble for the next 5 minutes. And then I have in the past allowed my reaction about not getting the word to actually siphon off what God was going to do later in that service. And so just, Father, let's just pray and let's dive into the word. But Father, I just thank you that you are always speaking and that you are always communicating truth. And one of the ways you do it, God, is speaking through your children as they release words like we've just seen. But God, you speak through pictures, you speak through that still small voice, you speak through just scriptures rising up to our Bibles flopping open at a convenient place. God, I just ask that as we just spend a little bit more time together today, as we come up to the end of the service, God, that you would just trickle in your life-changing word to the people in this room. And Lord, we are not going to be fussed about how your word comes. Lord, we do not need it to be packaged a certain way for us to feel good about ourselves. It is your word. Lord, however it comes, I want it. So why don't you just put a hand on your heart and just say, God, speak to me in my heart today. And lift off anything right now that is distracting or could get in the way of you hearing the Father's voice. Just command it to go with your authority as a believer. Just command all distraction to go in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Cool. Well, you will be pleased to know I'm not going to, famous last words, I'm not going to go on for too long, I hope, I plan. I'm going to try and keep it quite short, even though I do have props. And I could see young Dan Graham there at the front whispering something to Hannah, which I assume is various joke versions of what he thinks are behind these screens. It's not a photo of you or anything like that. I would say if you're listening to this on the podcast that it would be maybe worth having a look at the vidcast and seeing it because it is a bit visual. Anyway, it is great to be here. Like Tom, I've had an early start. Abby and I were checking out wedding venues in the Peak District this weekend, basically Pride and Prejudice land. There's one of Abby's favorite films is the Keira Knightley version, not the Colin Firth version for those. You like both of them. Okay. She likes both of them. And there's a scene of which Keira Knightley stands on top of a thing, like a cliff, and looks out at the vista. And one of the places we're looking at is very close to that. And so we were sort of debating, is it feasible for you in your wedding dress to climb up this thing? How long are our guests going to have to wait while we scale this with sort of, you know, hiking gear and the rest of it? Or, you know, am I just going to have to hoist you over my shoulder or something? I don't know. Is that what the ushers are for? Do they carry you up? I don't know. But she's willing to put on hiking boots. Excellent. Well, that's what we were doing, but we drove back this morning. So we were out of the house in the Peak District at 6 a.m. this morning, driving down the M1, the joy that is. Anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about tonight, today we're looking at a topic. I would really encourage you to, if you can come back tonight, we've got Paul Manwaring from Bethel with us tonight. He is incredible. His brain just, I can't get enough of hearing what comes out of his giant brain because he's just so close to the Lord and his preaching is just phenomenal. So I really encourage you to come tonight. But what I want to do today is, this is sort of a companion piece, ever so slightly, to what I spoke about last week on friendship and on relationships. And there was one thing that I talked about last week when we were looking at friendships and the relationships we have in our lives and how we have a great need for them and how we have a need to work on them or even make replacements if we've lost friends and all kinds of things like that we were talking about. And one of the things that came up as we were talking about things that might put distance between you and your friends, one of the things was actually doing the work of God can actually create distance between you and the people around you, which kind of seems like, I don't know, that seems like slightly oxymoronic almost, like it surely doing the work of God would actually draw everybody nearer to you and you would be in better relationships with everyone. And to a degree, that's really true. But there is an element of when your calling gets activated and when you start moving and ministering in the things that God wants you to do, whether that's standing on a stage or whether that's raising a family or in the marketplace or on the streets, wherever that is, you are going to find yourself busy when you're doing God's work. He is going to give you things that will put maybe a demand on your time or on your energy. And usually if you don't have a lot of energy or a lot of time, the people that that is hardest for is your family and your friends. Agreed? Thank you. So what I wanted to look at today is actually just, is I want to use my preaching notes today, and you can turn to this in your Bibles, is 1 Kings 17. And I'm really going to just be preaching a couple of chapters. And I want to look at Elijah's story, because Elijah, I find him fascinating as a biblical character. And part of the reason I find him fascinating is because there's just a whole lot of life experience crammed into a really few small chapters in various books, but in particularly in 1 Kings 17 to 19. And he's kind of, in these two chapters, in this little chunk of his life, he seems to have some of the ministry miraculous career highs that some of us would hope to get to the end of our lives and say we did that thing or we were involved in that miracle. He seems to have some major career highs, but he also has some sort of major career lows, all in the same chunk of time. And what's interesting to me is that he is very much trying to do God's will. He's very much trying to access God's will for his life, but his experience isn't necessarily a smooth one. Now, I know if you're new to Catch Fire, you may not know some of our history, but when the church was planted 8 years ago, Stu and Chloe came down from Norfolk to come plant the church, and originally they thought that they had a quite lucrative job with a ministry that would actually help support them and really help them out, and they moved down on the offer of this job, trusting the Lord, sold their businesses, did all these major life sacrifices, and then when they arrived down south, suddenly the job disappeared. And the offer went. And they had all these great plans. They were living with a friend in Chorleywood, and they were planning on just staying in a bedroom for a month or so while they got their house sorted. Because the job disappeared, were they there a year and a half? About a year and a half staying in a little bedroom in a house that they thought they were just stopping by at. And yet, the thing that had brought them there was the fact that they were pursuing God's will. Now, I know Tom, as he's spoken about before, and I think I've spoken about him, he came out of his, him and Abby decided they were going to be part of this church plant, and one of the things that Tom did was get this amazing job at this recruitment agency that had the potential to completely set them up, that they could minister all the time, they could do loads of work for God, and they would be really set up because this job was going to be so lucrative. And in, what was it, 2 years? Of working, but it was commission based, and basically Tom didn't have a salary for 2 years. Nothing came in, which is crazy because you think, God, we're stepping out for you, we're planting the church, we're doing the ministry, and then suddenly this quite difficult scenario. So they lived on Abby's salary for that whole year. And I know for me, when I came into the team, I was a full-time teacher at a school in Hertfordshire, and I loved doing that, and I felt the Lord put this heart for ministry in me and gave me a choice. And in my mind, when I quit my full-time job, I was going to dive into ministry, and everything was going to be a blast. I couldn't wait for it. And I quit my full-time job. The 2 years that followed that were probably the busiest, most hardworking 2 years I'd ever had in my life, because I was doing supply teaching, and I was doing tutoring, and I was doing anything I could to scrape together a living so I could do a little bit of ministry. And what was really interesting, that in all three cases, the thing that led into the circumstance was following God's will. But the circumstance that we immediately encountered was actually kind of hard work. And I feel that what I want to do today, and I'm going to sort of try and go through this reasonably pacey, but what I want to do is I kind of want to debunk a couple of myths maybe about the ease that may be presented to you when you start pursuing God's will, that it's going to be easy. And I think we might all smile and nod our heads that, yeah, of course, I know it wouldn't be. But we do sometimes allow this sort of, if I was just pursuing God's will, if I was just doing that thing I'm called to do, then it's going to be a free ride. It's going to be easy. The other thing that I want to reaffirm is that even when it's hard, there's actually a phenomenal amount of blessing and favor available for you. I would say especially when it's hard. And I want to use Elijah as the sort of exhibit A here. And I would tentatively call this talk the Elijah paradox, which sounds very posh, but essentially this is what I found online as a definition of the word paradox: a situational statement that seems impossible or is difficult to understand because it contains two opposite facts at the same time. Now, I would say Elijah's experience of his relationship with God and his calling was paradoxical in nature because it was never easy street and it was never all miserable and hard work, but he had elements of both. And what I want to do is just talk through it a little bit, because I think our response often in this church, if you're new to the church, we have some core values. There are fire values. They're what we mean when we say catch the fire. They're the F, the Father heart of God expressed through the cross of Christ. I, the intimacy of the Holy Spirit and hearing God's voice. The R, restoring the heart and getting healed of life's hurts. The E, equipping and empowering. And then we also throw on some extra letters that don't spell fire, but F for fun and M for multiplying of leaders. Those are our core values. And what we would often say is, if somebody was going through a hard time for some particular reason, we would often pull on that R, that restoring the heart, that healing value, and say, okay, if something's not going well in your life right now, it might be because you've got an open door to something. It might be you've made a judgment. And actually, you're sowing and reaping. You've judged someone in their life, and actually, you may be reaping some of your judgment back. It may be that there's a wound from your past. Something happened to you when you're younger, and you actually need to get that healed because you're still operating out of hurt from that wound. It may be that there's an ungodly belief you have. I'm always going to fail at finances, and you experience every year after year, you're struggling to budget, and you keep saying this, I'm going to fail, I'm going to fail. You speaking this ungodly belief, this curse over yourself. And what we would do, and Flicky with her amazing healing team, is we would often pull on some of those threads if something is going hard in someone's life. Okay, what might be going on around the outskirts of this issue? Have you got an open door? But one of the things that can happen when we're pursuing God's will is that we can have difficult things present in our life, and it's not always because there's an open door. It's not because you're being assaulted by the demonic or because you have an ungodly belief. It's because you're trying to do something for God in a place where it's never been done before. You're trying to plant a seed in some ground that's been extremely dry. And that's just hard work. It doesn't just grow up immediately. You have to work at it. And so I believe in our healing value, but I also believe in what it says in Exodus. I believe Exodus 23, when God says, little by little, I will drive out the occupants of this promised land. I'm going to drive them out little by little, because if I drive them out all in one go, all the beasts in the land are going to grow up and rise up, and you're actually not going to be able to contain them. So you need to be strong enough to occupy the promised land for you to occupy the whole thing. And the way you're going to do that is go little by little. And I think often, if you've been pursuing God's call in your life, you'll know that you don't go from the school of ministry day one to the front stage of Bethel Church and start preaching and take over from Bill. You know, you don't go from nothing to everything in one go. You don't go and start the Kenyan Children's Project and immediately build a village. You start by handing out bread on the street corners, which is what KCP did in the early days. And so I want to talk about this little by little gathering. And I'm going to use Exhibit A, and you can follow through with me, and hopefully this will not fall on the ground and make a massive bang. I want to look through Elijah's experience. And this is going to be semi-basic, but I want to just visually show some of the experience that Elijah had. Now, if we're going to flick through, I'm going to do a quick summary, and then we'll look at the board. So, if you're on 1 Kings 17, you'll see it starts with verse 1, the introduction to Elisha, and the Lord giving him in verse 2 a word about a drought coming. King Ahab has just done all kinds of wrong. He has been an awful king. Jezebel, his wife, has been absolutely no better and probably worse. And the Lord gives a word saying there's going to be a drought. He then sends Elijah away. Elijah goes and hides at a brook that looks after him for a while, where he can drink, and he gets ravens bringing him food and meat. And verse 7, it says, the brook dried up while he was there because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord comes to him, and he is told to go to a widow who's going to look after him. He arrives at the widow. The widow is preparing her last meal before her and her son die. Elijah speaks out the word of the Lord and says, make me some food. Your jug of oil is not going to run out. You're going to be okay. And she just keeps cooking, keeps baking, keeps making this thing. And there's this supernatural food provision miracle that's going on. Get to verse 17. The woman's son starts getting ill, and then he dies. Elijah has some words with God about that. And then he prays. He lays himself flat out. Verse 21, on top of the child three times, cries out to the Lord, and then the son is brought back to life. It's a miracle. Then coming into 18, Elijah is requested to go and meet Ahab. We're going to skip through that. Then verse 20, we have the famous confrontation with the prophets of Baal. Elijah is brought up onto the mountain, and he says, how long will you go on limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. And he challenges them to a contest. And the 400 prophets of Baal, this false god, he creates two altars. And he waits by one altar, and the prophets wait by the other. And they say, whoever's God, their God will set this altar on fire. He will come down and manifest his presence. And the prophets of Baal are dancing around, and they're cutting themselves, and they're chanting, and they're doing it day in, day out. And Elijah is taunting them and saying, maybe your God has gone to the toilet, maybe he's asleep. All of these kind of things. He's really ripping on them. And then they achieve nothing. They can't do anything. Then Elijah asks for all his servants to pour water over his altar, douses it with water, soaks it, and then asks for the power of God to come down. And in verse 38, then the fire of the Lord came and fell and consumed the burnt offering and licked up all the water that was in the trench. Amazing victory. Everybody realizes that the Lord is God. Elijah gets all of the prophets killed, which is pretty gruesome. Then Elijah sends his servant up to a hill and says, there's going to be rain any minute now. And this is after many years of drought. He says, there's no cloud, so go back, have a look, go back, have a look, go back, have a look, until he sees the cloud the size of a man's fist. And then he says to the king, you've got to get going because it's going to rain really quickly. And then Elijah, it says, tucked up his cloak and outran the king's chariot, which I think in itself is a miracle. Amazing victory. And then Elijah gets a message from the king's wife, because she's upset. He's killed all her prophets. And so Elijah receives this message that says, I'm going to kill you. By this time tomorrow, you're going to be dead because you've embarrassed me, you've shamed me, and I'm going to kill you. And so Elijah, despite all of the things that have just happened, he flees, he runs, and then he's met by an angel who gives him food and water. And then he flees a bit more. He goes into a cave. The Lord says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah pours out his heart and his complaint, and then the Lord moves in an earthquake and a fire and a wind, and then finally the still small voice, and he's told, go back the way you came, you're not on your own. And that is 1 Kings 17 to 19. Now, as you can see on here, I've got some of the events that have come in Elijah's life, and this is just a little summary of what's happening in that course of those few verses. I think it's helpful just to see the positives and the negatives. Fire kids, yeah, if you're collecting fire kids, please go. I think it's helpful to see the blessings and the challenges that Elijah is experiencing. So we start off when he gives the prophecy and he says about the drought, he's used by God. He is used by God to speak to an entire nation. That's pretty good. But then he's told to go to a brook. He's given this amazing word, and then he's told to run and hide and wait in the middle of a desert by a brook. But then he's provided for water and ravens. Meat is brought. This is fantastic. Elijah is being looked after. He's done the Lord's work. He's being looked after. But then the brook dries up, and the ravens stop coming. So this provision that's provided because he's just done God's will suddenly disappears. Has anyone had provision that they thought God had brought that was meeting a need, and then suddenly it just dried up? And you're like, God, this was the supernatural answer to the big thing that I did for you. Why has it disappeared? Why has it dried up? Well, God says, I've got someone for you. Go to the widow. She's going to look after you. Elijah probably expects the widow is a rich widow or has some kind of finances or some sort of backing. I don't think he's expecting her to be on the brink of death and about to cook her last meal because she's got nothing left. But then God gives a provision miracle, supernatural breakthrough. The food never stops coming. It looks like a miracle has happened. It looks like the provision has come again. God has come through again. And then moments later, the son gets ill and the son dies. And there's this, are you seeing the up and down, the yes, we're now on easy street, we're on the easy ground, and then something happens that is just not part of the plan. Anger and frustration, that's usually what follows with me. But then God raises the son, and he does probably the best miracle of all of them so far. He brings the son to life. Then Elijah has the confrontation, the prophets of Baal standing with them. He has this miracle victory. A sodden, soggy altar is consumed with fire, which is pretty cool. Then he sees the rains and he outruns the chariot and he has this amazing prophetic encounter and he's on an up now. He's just proven that God is God. He's just done a supernatural transportation miracle and he's prophesied rain when it's been completely blue skies and hot for I don't know how long, years. He is on an up now. And then the next day he gets a letter saying he's marked for death and he's right back down again. And you look at the scripture, the person who's receiving the letter here is the same as the person who had the miracle victory and the breakthrough with the prophets. And yet it says he was afraid and he ran. Now, I don't know why he ran. I wonder if after all of this, by the time he got to Jezebel's letter, I wonder if he was just tired. Just, it was one more thing. It was one more challenge. It was one more uphill thing that he had not planned. And I think we can have experience of that when we feel like we've gone through a year of challenge and trial, but of great blessing. And then there's this one more thing that comes that just knocks us to our knees. Can anyone give me a sort of tentative amen to that? Do we know what we're talking about? And he runs in fear, and then he hides. And two times God says to him, what are you doing here? As if God doesn't know, but he wants him to know, like, why are you here? Why are you running? And even in his fear, even in his running, God provides an angel, provides him water and bread, and he says, you've got a long journey ahead of you. You're going to need your strength. Even in his fear, even in his running, the Lord provides. And then when he comes to the mountain, he feels the earthquake and the fire and the wind, and then the still small voice of God, the intimate voice of God saying, do you need to be here? Why are you here? You're not alone. You're not the only prophet. You're not on your own. Go back the way you came. Anoint these two people as kings. Anoint this person, Elisha, to be your successor. You're not alone. And you look at this, and this is just two chapters of somebody's life. We don't have his teenage years. We don't have his 20s. This is just one little chunk of time. I don't even know, this could have been weeks. This could have been days. But you see the convoluted nature of how he both has the blessings, but also he has to live with the challenges as well. And I think what we often want to do is we want to just delete. We don't want to have this bottom row down here. When we say we're pursuing God's will, I want to be used by God. I want supernatural provision. I want supernatural miracles. I want to see the dead raised. I want miracle victories. I want supernatural transportation. And I want to hear the voice of God. That's what I think I should be getting when I pursue God's will for my life. Can I say that's sometimes what I feel like I deserve if I'm going to do it? If I'm going to quit my job or if I'm going to step out in faith, I feel like in my orphanness, I'm not saying this is right, but in my orphanness, I kind of feel like I'm due this. Now, that's a sermon in itself about entitlement and about misunderstanding what it means to do the work of God. But this, nobody says, you know what, I want to do God's will because I want to go and hide. And then I want to hide in a place that the provision runs out really quickly. And then I want to be taken to my new source of provision, who's close to death. And then actually she doesn't die, but the son dies. And then I want to be in anger and frustration. Then I'd like my own life threatened. And then I'd like to run in fear and hide. And I'd like God to say, what are you doing here? Like, this is no one's ministry dream. But, you know, we've had some amazing speakers stand up here. And I think Heidi Baker probably is one of the best ones we've had. And boy, when she talks about suffering for God, she's talking about the reality of all of this. And she talks about the miracles as well, but never at the expense of the reality of suffering for Jesus. Now, I'm not talking really about suffering for Jesus today. I'm not talking about that. I know there are some missionaries in the room. I know there are some people who have a heart for that. I'm not talking about suffering for the gospel necessarily. What I'm talking about is wanting to debunk the fact that doing God's will means you're only up here and never down here. But also to debunk the myth that doing God's will means you are suffering constantly and there is no joy and no life and no fun in the kingdom. Because if you look at all of the best miracles that Elijah experienced, they all came off the back of a dire challenge and need, death being one of them. And so I want to just, I'm not going to dwell too long on this because I want to just dive into some ministry, but what I'd like to just finish on is just a couple of principles that I think Elijah's story tells us that I think we can use as a bouncing into ministry. And the first one I would say is, I'm going to try and, I actually practiced this in the office earlier on Thursday, seeing if I could write balancing a whiteboard on top of a music stand. I think we may just need to invest in an easel. I think, let's see. Oh, no, right. I'm going to try and do this. Right. A yes to God means a no to circumstantial control. And I would write that down if you feel that one is for you. Some of these are going to be for you very specifically, and some of them you will have walked this journey already. But a yes to God means a no to circumstantial control. You cannot do the will of God and maintain 100% control over your circumstances. The two cannot live in the same house together. Now, it doesn't mean chaos, but it does mean you are not in control. And for many people, that's the first line that they will not be prepared to step over. Because we don't want to lose control, do we? Do we? The two hardest things I found in my life to give to God are finances and relationships. Because they're the two ones I want to control the most. But they're the ones that I need the most freedom in as well. So a yes to God is a no to circumstantial control. The second one is doing God's calling may not lead, to an easy upward curve. Doing God's calling does not necessarily mean it's just up, up, up and away. Now, in the spirit it is, but in your circumstances, it's often more like this. And I think one of the things that I needed to be grown on with God is that my spirit and my intimacy could be soaring with God, even if my circumstances were doing this. And I think often what can happen is the first time we hit one of these, we maybe plow through it, but then the second or the third one we come along, we start doubting whether we're actually doing God's will or not. Because if doing God's will is an easy upward curve, and it's always easy, and everything should open, and every door should open for you, then the evidence of these trials must mean you're not doing God's will. You're doing the wrong thing. And I have doubted whether I'm doing the right thing when troubles have come along. And often they have been testing or they have been challenging. They've been growing me. And I'm going to jump down to four. I'm going to come back to three in a second. Bad news is often an opportunity for a miracle. Hands up if you have seen a miracle come out of bad news. We've got friends of this house right now who are dealing with cancer. We have people in this church who are dealing with cancer. We cannot have the miracle of cancer being healed without cancer. Now, I'm not saying we're praying for cancer, we want cancer, but you can't have a resurrection without a dead body, you know? And I've said many times when I've gone to Kenya, I want to see the dead raised. I've never thought I actually will have to see a dead body first, which sounds kind of dumb, but I don't know if I want to see a dead body. I'm honest. It's not something I have a desire to see, but if I want to see a resurrection, then some bad news is going to have to lead to that for a resurrection to happen. I mean, I'm being simple, but I think we sometimes forget that. Bad news is an opportunity for a miracle. I'm jumping back up. Circumstances. This is my number three point. Circumstances have no bearing on the supernatural. Elijah's life is evidence of the fact that circumstances do not need to dictate whether you're going to have a miracle in your marriage or in your finances. And I think one of the worst things that we are having to contend with in the church, and I'm coming into land now, and I really am, one of the worst things we have to contend with is this projection that we put on other people that what God has done for them, he will not do for us. And we allow ourselves, whether it's somebody who's leading worship or preaching or someone whose Facebook we're following or whatever it is, we are so good at getting ourselves to a place where we believe that what happened for them will not happen for us. Because their circumstances weren't my circumstances. And whatever it is that we convince ourselves, we will allow our financial situation, our education, our anointing, our gifting from God, our personality, our character, our friendship, where we live, all of these things we will use to deny ourselves a miracle. And we don't even realize we're doing it, but we do. Elijah's story proves, it is biblical proof that your circumstances will not get in the way of God doing a supernatural miracle. And we are a house that believes in supernatural breakthrough. Amen? Hands up if you have a need for a supernatural breakthrough today. I mean like a genuine one, not like, I mean, all our needs are genuine, but I'm talking about something that it's supernatural or it's just not going to happen. You know, like the world's options have been tried and tested, but a supernatural breakthrough. We're going to pray for you in a moment. The last one I want to say, and this is what Paul's going to be talking about tonight, I think. The last one is simple obedience is a green light to God. This is the one that we struggle with the most. But simple obedience, saying a yes to God, is the green light on the traffic lights for him to actually get activated in our lives. And anything other than obedience is an amber or a red to him, and he'll have to wait because we're not giving him permission to move in our lives. So what I want to do, I want to come into ministry. We're going to have some music on in a second. That was a bit of a flyby tour. But this is our list for ministry. And what I really want to do today is I really want to pray for people who are actively trying to access their callings today. Now, that doesn't mean if you're sat on your chair that we're all going to think you're not actively accessing your calling, okay? But what I want to do is pray very specifically for people who are trying to do the calling but are experiencing both levels, the grace and the breakthrough, but the challenge as well. And if you know that you have been trying to get that thing started that God gave you a heart for, or if you know that you are on the first step of the journey, or the fourth or fifth, and you're looking up at the mountain peak and thinking, I have no idea how I'm going to get there because I just stepped in a puddle here. I'm not even at the mountain, and I'm already knee-deep in a puddle. If you are walking that journey, then I really want to be able to pray for you today, and we're just going to ask a blessing on the activity of God in your lives and in your callings and mine as well. Because I just think at any point in Elijah's journey, if he'd stopped, if he'd given up at one point, if he'd given up after the brook had dried up, then the widow's life and her son, they would have died. If he'd given up after the son had died, he wouldn't have come back to life. The prophets of Baal wouldn't have been defeated. Israel's history could have been completely different. There's any number of moments where if he had allowed that circumstance to stop him, then potentially world history would have changed because of how influential that nation of Israel is. And so what I really want to do, can we stand and we're going to, Zach, maybe you can throw on some music. I'm sorry it's been a little bit of a quick run through, but I really wanted to do those prophetic words at the beginning. I just want to invite you up. If you know that you're very much in a season right now where you are activating calling, and you are really trying to pursue whatever that calling is, whether it's ministry, whether it's just seeing the kingdom of God come in your workplace or your family, whatever it is, I'd just like to invite you just to come up to the front. And please don't feel any shame or anything if you don't feel like you're pursuing calling right now. You're not holy if you come up and unholy if you stay back. That's not what it's about. But I want to specifically be thinking about people who know they've said a yes to God. And I just want you just, we'll have ministry team move around in a moment. I know we're running low on time, but I just want to encourage you, just as you're up here right now, just to start having a dialogue with God. Just to start talking to him, however that is, whether that's out loud, whether that's in your mind, or just in your heart. And maybe just, you know, imagine you've got your own whiteboard in front of you and you're just going through the highs and the lows and charting the breakthrough moments and charting the unexpected challenges. Lord, I want to be wholehearted. And maybe just, I want to encourage you just to start speaking to God in your heart about just how you felt about it. We believe that God is near and he's able and he's available. And you may have had provision dry up. You may have been told that provision was somewhere, and when you arrived, it wasn't anything like you'd been told it was going to be or you thought it was going to be. And you may have done an amazing thing for God. You may have had a supernatural victory. And then literally the next day, you got attacked or you got threatened or you got the kingdom of darkness rise up against you. I just encourage you, just between you and God, and there may be some repentance needed. If you have been giving a no to God and wondering why your circumstances haven't changed, you may need to repent for that. You may have had in your mind this ungodly belief that it should always be up. It's always up. Everything should be easy. Easy street for ministry. Easy street for calling. And you may just need to repent. God, I'm sorry I've limited myself. It may be that you have just said your circumstances are beyond the breakthrough of God, that your circumstances, that illness, that financial struggle, the years of the same thing happening over and over again, the raise that you didn't get, the job that didn't come through, the ministry, the last time you tried this, it failed. There just may be some bitterness, some hurt, some disappointment in your heart. If that's you, I encourage you right now. God, I give it to you. As soon as it comes up, give it over. Spirit, come right now. Holy Spirit, come right now. Holy Spirit, would you just come and bring conviction right now? Would you come and bring conviction right now? And right now, I just want to put the cross of Jesus Christ between you and any disappointment, any frustration, any bitterness, any pain that has come along as you have tried to say and follow through with your yes to Jesus. I want to cut you off with the power of the blood of Jesus Christ from anything that has beaten you down, brought you down onto your knees, frustrated you, hurt you, brought pain in your life. Anything that has made you feel like you needed to give up or that giving up was the only option. Anything that suggested the opposition was because you weren't doing the right thing. I want to cut you off right now. And I just want to read these words from the Message translation from Romans, and then we're just going to have a soft ending and do some ministry. Say the welcoming word to God, Jesus is my master, embracing it with your body and your soul. God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. That's it. You're not doing anything. You're simply calling out to God, trusting him to do it for you. That's salvation. With your whole being, embrace God, setting things right. And then you say it right out loud. God has set everything right between me and him. God has set everything right between me and him. I want to encourage you, as we have some ministry team just move around, whether you're at the front or whether you're in your seats, I want you to do what the psalmist did, which is actually bless your own life, bless your soul. And you can put a hand on your head or in your heart and bless what the Lord is doing in you, that he has given you a calling, that he has given you a ministry to extend the kingdom where you are, as you are, who you are, that you do not need to be the prophet, the preacher, the pastor, the leader, the worship leader, but you need to be you for the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage you just to speak out a blessing over your calling right now and just name it. I bless my worship leading. I bless my vocal coaching. I bless my teaching. I bless the marriage course. I bless politics. I bless my family home. I bless my outreach on the streets. I bless my business. I bless my drumming. I bless my financial work. I bless my school. I bless my outreach to my family, to my mom, to my kids. I bless my veterinary work. I bless the kingdom of God to come through the app I'm building, through the ministry I'm starting, through the kids' work I'm doing, through the house I'm trying to run, through the family I'm trying to keep strong. I bless that. Ministry team are just going to be moving around. If you have a physical need, if you'd like someone to come and pray for you for healing, please come up. We really want to pray for healing. We believe it. We expect God to heal sicknesses. So come up and ask for prayer. We've got loads of team who'd love to pray for you. But I encourage you, if you're at the front, just do some business with God. This is going to be a soft ending. I feel his heart is to bless callings today, the pursuit of callings.